Hey there, I'm Kyle Hilliard from MinMax, and I'm here with Suriel Vasquez.
Hello, what's going on?
Hey man, you used to be a MinMax cohort, but now you're just someone who's still occasionally
now
shows
I'm a
up
guest
and talks about things.
Now I'm just on this video talking about video games, which is completely different from my previous role.
Well, we talk about No More Heroes 3, which does not have a subtitle. I don't remember.
It does not have a subtitle.
It never has, right? 1, 2, or 3?
No, 2 was the only one that had one.
Okay.
Desperate Struggle, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and there's also Travis Strikes Back, which is like...
It's Travis Strikes Again.
It was
Travis Strikes Again, colon, No More Heroes, which is very weird. But,
okay, very confusing.
Yeah.
But, Suriel, you're a longtime fan of the series No More Heroes, right? But you're also, personally, the biggest fan I know of Suda51. I don't know anyone who likes him more than you, which is why we were eager to have you talk about the game.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I can totally acknowledge that a lot of these games are just kind of very strange and they're, like, more interesting than they are good a lot of the time. But that's why I love them so much, is that he's always doing something weird. And especially, I think, around, you know, the last game he kind of fully directed was No More Heroes. He kind of stepped down a little bit for No More Heroes 2. And then from there, he hasn't directed. He didn't really direct a game until Travis Strikes Again. So that was him kind of getting back in kind of like the director's chair after kind of being, you know, head honcho over at Grasshopper, but, you know, running the business for a while, basically, instead and letting other people direct while he still had a hand in that stuff. So...
Well,
before we
jump into the game, I actually would love to know, like, your personal history with Suda. You know what I mean? Like, I learned about him. Killer 7 was the first time I had heard of him. But I'm curious, like, when you heard about him, why you... What was it that kind of made you a fan, you know?
It was honestly... There was a review in Nintendo Power, I think it was, for No More Heroes. It was, like, the first time that I'd heard about it. Because I think that review specifically not only, like, praised the game, but mentioned that... you should get out, like, people should get out there and support games like this because they're so different from everything else. And I was like, well, what is the, like, and that's when I started doing research and discovered, you know, like, oh, he's this Grasshopper studio has, like, this Hideo Kojima-esque guy, right, in Suda51. And so he's made a bunch of other stuff. And, like, you know, I had a GameCube then and I played Killer 7. And I honestly, the first time I played through it, I didn't really connect to it. I only finished like 3 levels and was like, I don't know about this. And then
that was my reaction to Killer 7. And then I never went back and did what you're about to tell me you did, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I like years later, I think I ended up doing like watching it on YouTube and stuff and like watching like a full playthrough of the game and really fell in love with it then. And gave it a second shot and then like kind of years removed from that initial experience and kind of knowing more what I was getting into. It became my favorite game of all time and I really fell in love with it. And so since then, like, I think No More Heroes was basically the first one of his games that I played. And I really enjoyed that. And so around that time, I started getting back into all of his other stuff.
I think what you're talking about, that Nintendo Power review where it's like, but they basically said, like, we need to support games like this.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how I feel about Suda51. I will always be, like, eager to try it and see it. But, like, really none of them have grabbed me, if I'm being fully honest. The one that did is Shadows of the Damned, which is, like, maybe the least personal game of his, and he actively dislikes, right? And sort of, like,
in a lot of ways, it inspired a lot of Travis Strikes Again, and there are... threads in No More Heroes 3 that are very much inspired by his experience making that game.
Okay.
Which is funny because
negative one, right? Like, he did not enjoy
the process. Yeah, he did not enjoy that. He did not enjoy working with EA on that one for sure. You can tell. And so it was interesting because I think when I played that game, it was part of this larger trend that felt like, okay, the games are kind of getting better, but they're becoming less interesting because, like, I think if I play Shadows of the Damned now, I'd probably like it a lot more because I have, again, it's an expectations thing of like, oh, this is a Suda game. This is going to be weird. And like, that's just a solid shooter, right? Like that was like the second time we'd worked with Shinji Mikami, who like did a Resident Evil for a while.
Yeah, it's like a solid third person shooter with cool world building. Like, that's the king of that game, is, like, the world that you enter and all the explanations, and then the protagonist is really fun, and your gun sidekick is funny. But, I don't know. It is the one that feels the most, noted, is to use kind of, like, a Hollywood right term. Of like,
yeah, like, it was a lot of, like, let's not do the interesting thing. Let's do the thing that's going to make this, like, more... Yeah. Like solid, but less interesting.
And
in a lot of ways.
It's like visually, it's kind of. I liked it because it was kind of like it was made for a dumb American like me.
Yeah. You know? And so, like, since, like, in that era, there was, you know, like games like Lollipop Chainsaw Killer's Dead, which I don't like very much, that felt like, okay, this is just a regular kind of action game with, like, kind of a. That is structured very much like games of that time. Not a lot of interesting, like creative stuff. But, you know, it's like, here's this kind of. Elaborate setup for regular action games. And then Travis Strikes Again was Suda saying, like, well, I'm going to work in a much smaller scope, which is going to give me more freedom to actually do weird stuff, because at that point the company had gotten bought by Gung Ho, which is like this huge, I'm not sure, but they're like an Asia region conglomerate, basically. And so they bought them, so he didn't have to run as much of the business at that point, because he was like, this is around Let It Die. They were doing pretty well. And so, like, they were doing pretty well financially. So he kind of saw it fit to, like, take on a more active role in direction. And I really like Travis Strikes Again. I know that it is very hit or miss for a lot of people, but I appreciated how weird that game gets and how different it was. Like, this was like, okay, this is getting back more to the Suda that I like, in that, like, a lot of these ideas don't work. There are straight up some really bad parts in Travis Strikes Again, but there were a lot of ideas that they executed on well, and that game had, like, a ton of style.
Style. And so let's come back to that word later.
Yeah, and so No More Heroes 3 is definitely like the you can make something different. Let's try something with a bigger budget. And that is No More Heroes 3, in that, like, okay, we're making a new No More Heroes game. We have all this time removed. Like, what do we want from this? And it kind of just feels like an amalgam of all of the No More Heroes games in this weird way, where it's plucking elements from the three previous games, but then also, like, just a lot of different styles of just, like, he's just going to throw everything he has here. And it's like, again, the stuff that I want from Suda is like, okay, this doesn't always work, but I love that they're just constantly trying stuff. And that's sort of how I feel about 3, is that Kyle, I am totally prepared for you to, like, give me your reaction and just say, like, yeah, I don't think I like this game much at all. And, like, that's totally fine. I haven't talked to you about the game much, but I don't know. So I don't know where you're sitting with it, but it's like, I'm okay with the reactions to this game being pretty mixed, because, like, I feel like I am getting what I want out of this, even if this is probably my least favorite No More Heroes game a few reasons. But to me, it feels like a cool course correction for the series. And I'm more excited to see what Suda does next after this than I have been in a long time.
Yeah, I like to joke with you a lot that, like, I don't like Killer 7. And it's mostly because I just like joking around and poking fun at you, because it's a good time. But really, I mean, Killer 7 and Resident Evil 4 and Okami were all coming out around the same time. Mm-hmm. And Resident Evil 4 was so good, and Okami was so amazing. And then, like, I know particularly Killer 7 and Okami came out pretty far apart, but I still kind of, like, connect them in my mind for some reason. And Killer 7 was definitely a moment where I played it and was like, oh, this is, like, it's all on rails. Like, it was mechanically just, like, really threw me off. And, like, I never really gave it a solid shot. But, and I played No More Heroes 1 a fair bit, probably, like, 3 or 4 hours, because I liked Wii stuff at the time. And I was, like, looking for something unique and interesting, which that totally was. But it wasn't a game that, like, got its hooks into me and made me want to finish it. And my initial reaction to 3, which we won't spend too much time on my reaction, because I haven't played it very much. I got through the first... you know, the first boss, and I'm now in the open world, which is funny because I was like, oh yeah, this game's an open world. I totally forgot about this part of the game. And I'm driving my bike around and, like, taking on little battles and stuff like that. And it is that thing where it's like, man, this is so stylish. Every, like, menu is bizarre and cool and interesting. And, like, the dialogue is just, like, really, just like over the top in a way that I don't know if I find it particularly charming, but I do like the story of like the E.T. angle of the story of like, you know, it's kind of like if you watch E.T. and then No More Heroes 3 is like, what if E.T. came back as like a god tier villain and just like, you know, just started destroying the earth, but still really liked Elliot and like hung out with Elliot and, you know, and had a lot of love for him. Like that stuff I like. I think that's really cool. But it's just, yeah. Oh, I also really like that there is essentially an Akira slide button when you're driving your motorcycle around. Like it's literally, you press a button and he like goes to the side and puts his foot down. It's like, it's not even pretending. Yeah. So I like that. Obviously I like that. I like Akira, but yeah. After that, I'm just kind of like, combat's like, okay. I'm not really, it's not like blowing me away. There's the stuff that's like the world isn't like, it doesn't work very well to drive around, but that's like one of those things. Like, I don't really care. Like, that's not what the game's about. It's not supposed to be like a GTA recreation. It's just supposed to give you something to do between battles, you know? But, so that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I like it fine, but it, like most Suda games, I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I really feel compelled to see this to the end. Maybe there's something I'm missing by not doing that. But, so that's where I'm at, but I would love to hear your more concrete thoughts. You wrote a review for Polygon, I believe, right?
Yes.
And you've completed it, I'm sure. So please, like, give me your full feedback. I want to hear your proper review.
No, I think that that's sort of where I was for a while. I feel like one of the things that I like about No More Heroes 3 is that, like, it, like, the weird stuff is so strong and there's so much of it that I think it elevates the game, and it's kind of, that's kind of like the reason you're there. But I think the combat and the open world stuff I don't think are great, but they don't get in the way as much as they have sometimes in other Grasshopper games. So like the open world stuff, it's like it's pretty empty, but like pretty quickly you realize you don't have to do a lot of it if you don't want to, because you're getting so much money and you don't have a ton to spend it on that. Like, so the structure of the game is that food, like the character who you mentioned is being like this E.T. analog. Basically, you have that cycle where they find, like, you know, they befriend each other and he goes back to Earth in this like lavishly produced anime sequence that is like the beginning of the game. And so he comes back and he's like basically about to wipe out Earth. And I think at some point Sylvia Crystal basically convinces him to, okay, instead of just that, why don't you do this, work with the United Assassins Association to create a ranking structure where someone has to work their way up these rankings. And then if they get to you and you fight them and you kill them, then the Earth is doomed. But you're still, for some reason, you know, having to work up through like part-time jobs and stuff to make money to in order to enter these fights. And I honestly think the mini games in this game are actually pretty good. I think I like most of them. There's a couple I don't like. There's a mining mini game that you get later on where you delve into these tunnels, and I don't think that stuff works. But the lawn mowing, I think, is fun, and I like the racing game. Like the fact that they say that it's like, oh, you're raising traffic awareness by ramming the criminals that are like speeding and stuff off the road, and you have to do it multiple times. And like, there's like, it basically turns it into like Wipeout, where you're trying to crash into other people and hit them off the road. I think that stuff is good. But like, there's a bunch of like collectibles and stuff around the city. Like there are scorpions and stuff that'll sting you, or like, you find these places where you can plant seeds and stuff. And that part, like, those are the parts where I'm just like, you're just kind of giving me an excuse to run around this open world that is like not super great looking. Like most of the areas I think are pretty barren. Like a lot of them are desert and like apocalyptic areas for a reason.
And they feel a little constrained. Like you can't jump over walls, you know, and stuff like that. Like I was trying to cut through a suburban neighborhood at one point. And I was like, oh, I guess I have to get on my Akira motorcycle and take the long way. Like that stuff doesn't ultimately bug me, because that's just not, it's not trying to be an open world game necessarily. Like I said, it's just kind of like,
I mean, it's almost like an open world. Like it is just there to be like, okay, this is an open world game and that's what we're going to do with it. Right. But then it's using that as like a basically a way to have all these weird moments. Like every time you talk, like there are these thing called t-shirt aliens around the world that,
of course,
you just talk to them.
You don't need to explain what that is. We all understand.
And like they're how you get shirts, and they'll tell you like, oh, if you do X number of things, you'll get like a t-shirt. And like, but when you talk to them, it's like, and this is the thing that is that it like, it just gives them more avenues to do weird stuff. Like every time you talk to one of those aliens, it cuts to this like security camera surveillance footage, and all their dialogue is like texts from like that you're getting in on your phone, and like the font is all like, you know, uppercase, lowercase, kind of like weird alien talk. And they're like, and that is just like, that's a cool twist on like a pretty menial video game thing, right? And that is what this game is. It's just like, let's take a basically the framework of a video game and just insert all of these like kooky little touches along the way. And so that's why I mentioned that it actually works, that the game part doesn't get it, like no part of this game is super frustrating. I think that there are a couple of combat encounters that that were pretty tough towards the end. But for the most part, it's like if you level up, you know, you have an upgrade system and stuff. If you are keeping up with that curve, you're not going to have a ton of trouble. So like, it's all like I meant, maybe my favorite part of this game is the intro sequence that plays, because it's like the game is broken up into these episodes that are way more elaborate than they should be, like the setup for them, in that there's like a pre-intro thing where Fu is like talking to the CEO, I think his name is Damon, and it's like, here's how we're going to set up the next bad guy. And then we have like this amazing like anime intro that is just like high, like, it looked like the font is Killer 7, so I'm already predisposed to like it, but it's got all these silhouettes of the characters, and it's got like a per episode credits where it's like, if it only shows the people who are going to show up in that episode. So it's like, if a voice, and there's like one character where it's like, oh, who are you fighting next? And it's like, they just have, they'll introduce one of the silhouettes where normally they'll show like, oh, and the boss is played by this character. There's just nothing there. It's just the silhouette where that would be. And so that sets up the mystery of like, oh, who are you going to fight against? We're not going to, the credits aren't even going to tell you.
Yeah. Which is nice. It's like they establish an expectation, yeah, and then they pull the rug out from under you, right? Like that's
right.
I love that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like closing credits to every episode that is like this very long, very like dreamy kind of anime song. And then it's like, okay, also you're not only just watching this anime, you're watching it on like YouTube or Netflix, because there will be like a next episode in 3, 2, 1 countdown. And then like you'll enter these sequences where it's like this weird talk show interface where it's like you're watching it through a TV, and there's like Travis and Bishop, his friend from who runs the video store, and they're just talking about like random Takashi Miike films, like specifically like, it's like, Yoko, the stuff he does in Audition is really cool, and like, you know, Ichi the Kill, like he just has all these elements of style or whatever, and they'll talk about like random Power Rangers anime and stuff like that, like Ultraman stuff, and it's just and it goes on for way longer than it should. It's just like it's not decoration, it is the game in a lot of ways, and those are like some of my favorite parts. And it feels like a backhanded compliment to say like, oh, these decorations are my favorite part of like this building or whatever. But it's like there's so much of it that it like almost creates substance out of that style. And like you're just there to see that stuff. And it's like, OK. And like you do the gameplay and it doesn't really bother you that much. And it's like, I think sometimes the combat can be pretty good. Like you can tell it's pretty janky a lot of the time. But it's like, I don't hate doing it, so I'm just going to. Like I like it enough to not feel like I'm putting up with it. Yeah. Like the open world stuff, I think is probably more in the like, okay, I'm doing this because they're telling me to, not because I like it. But like the combat is like, okay, cool. Early on, there's just like the combat encounters are way too short, and to the point where it's like you have this exit animation. Every time you land the last kill, it'll just start playing this guitar riff, and it'll just like say like kill in like giant pixelated letters, and it takes forever. It lingers on that last shot forever, and it is fun. It's like that's cool. Like it makes me feel good because I know when I'm about to kill the last person, I know it's about to happen. And it's same thing with like the bosses, where it's like you see them, like he does like the finisher, and then there'll be like this person dead, and it's like this really stylish thing. And it's just like, if you like those little touches, they just add up over the course of like, I think it took me like 15 hours, but I did a lot of the open world stuff. So you can probably beat this in around 10 if you're really quick. But like all that stuff is, I'm just there for those vibes, right? Like and nothing about the game really impedes it. There's no point in that game where I'm just like, I don't want to do like, this sucks. I hate this. And most of that stuff is avoidable. And so like when you have that structure, when you kind of come to grips with that, like it's just serving up all these different moments, and a lot of them don't land is kind of my thing, is that like I think Suda has always been like very he's the opposite of subtle, right? And a lot of times it's just in No More Heroes, this is outlet for like, you're a bunch of things that I love, and it's very clear that he like Ready Player One was like a light bulb moment for him of the, like, oh, the references can just be there. They don't have to have any context. So like Sylvia's always in some sort of like reference outfit where it's like, here's her as a Bond girl. Here's her as what I think is at one point.
Button to activate an animation directly from Akira.
Yeah, yeah. And like she'll show up. I think at one point she's dressed as one of the characters from Live, Die, Repeat. But I'm not totally 100% on that. They're like Captain Marvel. She'll just like fly in like Captain Marvel, and like they won't mention it. There's a part where one of an enemy comes out of an alien egg, and it's very obvious. Oh, like from that famous movie, and like that stuff I think is kind of hokey now. But it's almost like if you think about like where we are now with like metaverse stuff, where it's just like all crossovers, all references. Like it's just like, oh, this thing has appeared in this, like, you know, Dead by Daylight having killers from every other horror series, right? There's just no substance to any of it. I almost feel like because these references don't feel like they are crossovers that they talk to the company about, like it feels more personal. So like it reminded me of Death Stranding in a lot of ways, where I think a lot of people will give him flack for like, oh, he's just putting all of his favorite celebrities into a game and kind of like, you know, here's, you know, Norman Reedus because he likes Walking Dead. Here's Lindsay Wagner because he liked the Bionic Woman, I think it was, or Wonder Woman or so. But it feels less like, okay, well, the company said like crossovers will make this game big, and more like, I like all this stuff, I'm putting it in the game. It almost feels like having like, who's going to put Lindsay Wagner in a game of this size? Because the EA is not going to say, you know, like, you should put Lindsay Wagner of all people in your game. So it's like the fact that like the references collectively give you an idea of who Kojima is. And this is the same for this game, where it's like the fact that they're pulling a lot of things like gets you to think, oh, these guys are obviously nerds and they want you to know that. But it is the specific references that they are making and the extent to which they're made that I think like it gives you an idea of who this person is. And they're just like a big old nerd. And I think that's. So that turns a lot of like the references that I'm not super into, like it kind of just says, okay, well, this person likes, you know, this particular thing, and I'm not into that, but we share this common connection of, you know, like here are the things that he does like that I also like. So it's kind of like a lot of hit and miss stuff, but I think collectively it's like it feels earnest versus corporate, and I feel like that stands out, you know, in like the Fortnite world where it's like Ariana Grande's in this because like, well, a lot of people like Ariana Grande, but it's like, We do this because we think it'll help us reach more people, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I think this feels like the fact that, you know, they're talking about Takashi Miike films is not going to make more fans. It's just going to get the people who are already predisposed to like No More Heroes to like this game more, and for you know, Suda to like show off his love of Takashi Miike films.
Yeah.
And I think that to me is what makes this game stand out in that regard. And they're just like really in, like from there, there are just a lot of really interesting moments. Like there's like an extended like reference to Fatal Frame that is interactive, which is really cool. And like you'll just serve up like really interesting gameplay stuff. Like there's a moment, there's like one of the bosses basically is like a game of musical chairs, and it's like surprisingly involved. And it's like, that was one of my favorite fights in the game, is that like how involved it is and how much you are just like, it's not like it is a set piece, but it's like you are playing a game of musical chairs. It's like, and it feels more elaborate than like a Mario Party minigame would be, how much you're playing musical chairs. And like there are a lot of moments where it's like, okay, you're gonna fight this boss, but it's, you're gonna do it through basically the interface of another game, which I think is really cool, especially like the last fight. I think is specifically one that I don't think a lot of people are gonna see coming, but I won't talk about that now. So I think that's sort of where I'm at with No More Heroes. It's like, it's one of those games that I am personally glad really exists. But like with a lot of my favorite games from Suda, like I think they're kind of, I wouldn't say an acquired taste, but it's like I would hesitate to recommend them universally. Like Killer 7 is my favorite game of all time, and I'm pretty selective about who I recommend it to, because I know that it is like David Lynch, in that like, you're not going to like, hey, everyone, let's go. Like, what are we watching tonight? Yeah, we're watching Eraserhead. Like, you kind of do that after you know somebody. And it's
popcorn.
Like, you'll maybe watch it with one other person or a group of people who all already like Lynch. It's not a thing where you're like, yeah, let's just pop in the latest David Lynch movie or whatever. it's like, it's got to be one of those things where you have to, you know, contextualize it and say why you like that stuff. And so this, I'm glad that this is where I'm at with this game versus something like Lollipop Chainsaw or Shadows of the Damned, where it's like, yeah, those are like, Shadows of the Damned is good and Lollipop Chainsaw is bad, but it's like, they're not even like, they're not interesting either one way or the other, where it's just like, either you can recommend them or not. There's not a lot of like personality there. And I like that No More Heroes 3 has this like really strong personality to it, and yeah, I enjoyed it for the, like, I know there are parts of this game that are bad. I think it looks really bad in a lot of places, like the open world bits I don't think look great. The combat sections I think look okay, they're pretty stylish, and that makes up for like how blocky a lot of the characters look. There's maybe like, I don't know, there's maybe like 6 or 7 enemies in the game, not including the bosses, but you just fight the like different colored versions of those. And I like some of the changes they made to combat, I'm not a fan of. I like the high and low stuff that the Wii version had, but I know why they couldn't do that. You know, they like, because the Wii, that high and low stuff was based on like the position of your Wii remote, whereas that doesn't work well. So they just have a heavy and slow attack. And here they just have like the death drive abilities that they had in Travis Strikes Again, and they're all on cooldowns. And so you're kind of managing those, but it's like a lot of the times, like, you'll do a special ability and it'll completely whiff or on something, or like they have a dodge mechanic where you can dodge an enemy and you'll be in slowdown, but it only affects one enemy. So other enemies can start attacking you while you're attacking another enemy. So it's like, I got the reward for dodging, but I'm still getting hit. So it's like, there's a lot of inconsistency to the combat, but I think it works most of the time because like most of the enemies don't put up much of a fight. But yeah, there's just a lot of really cool touches. And if you like really weird games, I would definitely, you should give it a shot. That said, I kind of think it's, you should probably just play No More Heroes 1 if you're looking for a good start for this series.
Like the PS3 version, probably?
I mean, you can even buy the Switch, right? The Switch port.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
There's a Switch version now that is like the original game, not the Heroes Paradise, I think it was called on PS3.
Yeah.
So like No More Heroes 1 and 2 and Travis Strikes Again are all on Switch at this point. And I think, because like the story, I think, is totally just does not care about context. It is just like Travis is like several years older. Like he's living with two people from previous games. Like that, like it's not really concerned with catching you up. So if you just, I think No More Heroes, the original, I think is still probably my favorite No More Heroes game. So I would just recommend you play that. And honestly, it's not like this is like, oh, this is the updated, more modern version of all the gameplay stuff. It's like, I think that original game holds up fine. And this game doesn't necessarily like it is very different, but I don't think it's better in terms of combat or anything like that. So I think it's still worth, I think the first No More Heroes game is probably worthwhile. One thing I do want to mention is that like, it is an adult rated, it is an M rated game, and that means like it is very violent. And it's got a lot of blood. It's kind of a bummer because they introduce, you know, they have Shinobu and they have Bad Girl from previous No More Heroes games, and they're sidelined pretty quickly, which makes it feel weird.
I noticed that,
because,
yeah.
because like it's Travis Strikes Again, it felt like it was building up to this being an ensemble thing, because like you are reintroduced to Shinobu, like you bring Bad Girl on board at the end of that game, and you have a bad man who's Bad Girl's father and the other playable character in Travis Strikes Again. So it feels like, okay, I have this party group. But it definitely feels like at some point they just decided, actually, never mind. So it's like the they are basically very violently sidelined for most of the game, which I think kind of sucks. I kind of wish this was like a game where more people were taking it on Fu, because it feels like it would make sense to have like, well, one person can't defeat him, so we're going to have multiple people do that. And there is a lot of like, okay, this person, I shouldn't spoil stuff yet, but like there is a lot of like surprises that come with like what happens with the rankings and stuff. There is a lot of subversion of that, maybe almost a little much. And I think the actual boss fights here are okay overall. There's a couple that I felt were too easy, because like I think previous games the fights went on for way longer than they did here. Whereas most of these, I think, like once you get out of the gimmicky stuff, all of these fights are kind of like not super difficult, and they kind of go by really quickly. Like that is kind of the issue, and you don't really get to know a lot of these. I think in No More Heroes 1 there was a longer build up to them, and it felt like they had more personality, whereas I think a lot of it has to do with them being aliens. where it's like, okay, here's this alien. He's kind of almost like an abstract shape a lot of the time. You kind of get it. He's kind of like a one note character. So like they're like, yeah, this feels like the least interesting cast of villains. Whereas I think a lot of the cast of One and Travis Tricks again, I thought hit pretty well for me.
Have backstories, right? I mean, most of them are, at least the one I fought was like, Fu came and destroyed everything, so I can't really fight him, so I'm just going to hang out with him and do what he wants, you know?
Yeah, and I think the No More Heroes 1, like, it's not like you're talking to this person for a really long time. It's not like they're, you know, you're in their area or whatever for a long time, but it's like, I think about, like, Holly Summers from 1, who is just like, here's a veteran who, like, they do a lot of like the fighting game stuff of like, we're going to establish this character's personality very clearly and distinctly in like two beats or something, like in like three scenes, and you're going to get a really strong view of who this is, and it's like she has one scene with Travis where he's like, I love stupid incompetent men like you, or something like that, some line where he's totally just shitting on him. But it's like the way she behaves, and like the fact that you fight her in like this area full of mines, and like she has like a prosthetic leg, so it's like the idea is that she's an explosives expert. Like all that stuff is communicated so clearly that you feel like, oh, if you go back and watch like her screen time, she doesn't get a lot of screen time, but what's there is so strong and so evocative of her character that she feels like a bigger character than she actually is. And I don't know that any of the opponents here like are even close to that. And that's kind of a bummer. But there's stuff mechanically that I appreciate, but for the most part, I think the characters are great, which is, I think, why it's maybe my least favorite, is that like, I like that ranking system thing is, you know, what I really like about this series, and that it feels like you're getting to meet these characters one by one, but the game kind of sidelines that for like, well, Travis is fighting Fu. Like, Fu is the main character, Fu's the main bad guy, and like Damon's kind of there as well. So that part is kind of disappointing. But I did enjoy like that this feels even more stuffed with like you said, like the pause menu is like, you know, here's like an Apple II interface, and like every time you die, it cuts to like a roulette wheel of like, here's like this like photo montage thing of like, here's like a very realistic looking wheel with a bunch of cartoon graphics on it that are going to determine what buff you get. And it's just like, if you like seeing like that stuff for 12 hours or whatever, like this is your game, because it just feels like it is just chock full of that.
Yeah. I also like how it's like, when you die, I don't remember exactly what it says, but it's like, you dead. And then a second later, a question mark shows up.
Yeah, like, you did? Yeah. So and it's just like full of all those kinds of moments. So it's like it's a very punk game in that sense of just like, it's trying to get that punk aesthetic across. And it's like how much of that stuff you're willing to, or how much you like that stuff, and how much you're kind of willing to just play a pretty standard open world game. I wouldn't even say it's substandard at this point, considering how big a lot of open world games are.
Yeah.
To get to that stuff. But I think for the people like the Suda games that I tend to like most, it's like, it's not going to hit for everyone, but if it does get its hooks into you, you'll probably like it a whole lot.
So I think you think this is the weakest of the
trilogy? Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to say that Travis Tricks Again is the weakest one, and that's fair. I've seen people who say this is their favorite. I obviously don't agree, but it feels like the best parts are kind of those little intermingling bits of style. I kind of expected this game to have a rabbit hole kind of moment where it's like, oh, now it's getting like really weird, and what it does in this game is nowhere near as good as what No More Heroes 1 does, or what Travis Tricks Again does at the end. I think the last few levels of Travis Tricks Again are amazing. Whereas this, it just feels like, okay, the general style structure, I think, is my favorite part of this, and individual moments I don't think are as strong. And then I think 2 has my favorite combat in the series, but it's not as like stylish or whatever.
And he didn't direct that one, I guess, right? The second
one. No, he was kind of like I think he was like assistant director, so that was kind of okay. Like, okay, I'm still kind of in an executive role here, but I'm letting someone else take the reins. So I think my ranking would probably be 1, Travis Tricks Again, 2, and then 3. Yeah. Okay. Which I think a lot
you
of people
have to,
would
you
probably...
Should, you have to defeat them in that order. You have to go through the ranking.
That's right. Yeah. You have to defeat three first. Yeah. I think a lot of people would probably put 1 and 2 at the top. I think my like for Travis Strikes Again is probably the anomaly, but I think most people would say that 1 is the best one. And I still think you should play that game. That is still a really cool game.
Does this allow for motion controls, the third one?
Yes.
You can play with Joy-Cons if you want.
With Joy-Cons, okay. Yeah. So, like, you can do all this. There's, like, a toilet minigame, by the way. Like, you unlock save points by going into them and unclogging them by, like, moving the Joy-Con around and, you know, moving it up and down. And you recharge your katana that way by shaking the controller. So, I didn't use that stuff a ton. I think I'm just in a position where it's like, if I can just use a controller for that stuff, I will. I think I just usually prefer that stuff anyway.
Yeah, I'm playing it on a light, a Switch Lite, so I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this is going to be one of those games where I think I like it the more I think about it, and, you know, in kind of hindsight of like playing other games, I think I'll appreciate it more. But yeah, just know what you're getting into. I don't think this is like a great game by, like, you know, traditional standards of like, oh, the combat is really good and it looks really nice and whatever, but it's like it is a weird game for weird people, and I'm glad that Suda is back to making those kinds of games. That said, it's like they did a live stream recently where they announced that they have like, what, 4 projects going on right now. They have like 3 new IPs. They're working on 3 new IPs and like 1 other project. And they have, apparently, like a while ago, they announced a collaboration with Swery called Hotel Barcelona, which I guess they insist is still around. So I'm curious to see what they're up to. I'm sure like one of those is going to be like something like closer to Let It Die, which I didn't play a ton of, mostly because that game felt like it was the least suited one, where it's like, okay, this is a roguelike and it's got like an interesting hook, but like it's kind of like it's built to be a free to play game. Yeah. So I appreciate, like, I'm hoping one of those, like, is, you know, Suda's next kind of weirdo project, right? Versus something like, because he'll do stuff like, you know, Liberation Maiden, where it's like this collaborative game for the 3DS. And it's just like, I don't know.
I reviewed that, I think, for Game Informer.
Yeah, so it's just like, that game has like,
right?
Yeah, I think it's directed by Suda or like made by Grasshopper, but it's like, it has no real identity as a Grasshopper game. So I'm hoping that it's like, more in the vein of this than that, but he has also said that this is this is the last No More Heroes games, this is the finale, which is interesting. But I'm hoping that this signals kind of a return to more weird stuff. I don't think he'll ever get back to kind of the Kill the Past Suda, which is probably my favorite of his games, like that trilogy of like Silver Case, Flower, Sun and Rain, and Killer 7.
Which those first two are almost like text adventures, right? Kind of.
Yeah. So like, yeah, Suda or
visual novel.
Silver Case is just straight up a visual novel. Flower, Sun and Rain is like an adventure game, where you're just kind of running around in third person and whatever. And the Killer 7 is like a weird adventure game shooter mix. Because I think he just wants to make action games. He's very explicitly about that, of like, we want to make action games because they sell better. But maybe at this point, maybe people are more receptive to visual novels, and I'd love to see something smaller from him. But I think at this point, he's probably going to make action games that happen to have like his unique sense of style, which I'm into. Like, I know that he'll never get back to that point where I loved him most, but I think this is still a pretty good, solid place for him to land and for him to continue making weirdo, violent games.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's that weird thing where it's like, I would not really consider myself a big Suda fan, but, like, I will forever want him to continue to make games. You know what I mean? Like, I want more weirdos like him out there doing interesting stuff, even if they don't necessarily appeal to me. Like, I just want them to exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, was there anything that you want to discuss in terms of spoilers? We could draw a line right here. If there's anything that stood out to you, or maybe you feel like you said everything you wanted to say about the game.
I think everything I would want to talk about is just like how other people reacted to kind of some of the later moments. So I don't, like, it would just be a series of me telling you like, there's this really cool reference and then this other interesting thing that happens later on. So it's like, there's nothing I think that kind of that. There's no points that I want to make that use those as examples or anything. So I think just know that a lot of the later stuff, I think there's a moment Kyle, I think that you will specifically like, that I think is very interesting. But it's like one of those things where it's like, if you're not interested in finishing the game, you might be able to just watch it on YouTube or something, or I can just tell you off mic. But it would just be a series of those, like, this moment I think is really cool, or like this very specific reference I think is really funny. So I would prefer that people just experience that on their own.
Gotcha.
But I think suffice it to say that, like, that stuff is worth seeing as a whole, and that if you're interested in weird games, you should definitely check it out. You know, like, there are a ton of really strong games right now coming out, so maybe wait for, you know, for a discount or something. But yeah, I think No More Heroes is good, and people should play those games. And I like No More Heroes 3s.
So it's kind of so good, especially on, like, if you like Suda, you'll like this. But it's not this new sort of apex of Suda game design, where it's this is the one, right?
Yeah, I feel like you have to kind of know what you're getting into, so just set your expectations appropriately and
set the dial to 51, and then
that's right.
You know, get in there.
Yeah.
God, a Suda Swery collaboration.
Yeah, that
I don't
almost
know if
seems
that
like
game
too
functions,
many
like mechanically.
Yeah,
like,
that almost feels like it's too many cooks in the kitchen. Of like, what is, okay, they both feel like they're kind of working in similar spaces. Like, what is them working together?
Oh, and like, we should mention, I always forget to do this, but Swery, he directed Deadly Premonition 1 and 2. He kind of explores a similar space where he's like, I make weird stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for very and it, like, audience. It very, very, like, yeah, very kind of acquired taste kind of thing. So, it's their collaboration, it's not like a Suda Shinji Mikami thing where you can see how they complement each other. Like, oh, Shinji Mikami has like really tight gameplay and responsive controls and stuff, and Suda has like weird ideas and a lot of structural kind of novelty, whereas I feel like they both cover the same bases pretty well. So I would almost be interested in, like, I would be more interested if, like, Suda worked with, like, Kamiya at this point than Swery. Like, for if Grasshopper worked on a game with Platinum, I think that would be a thing that would immediately be like, okay, this could be the one that breaks him out big again.
I think so. Yeah, that seems like a perfect fit, honestly. Is like, get the sort of tight gameplay, action gameplay of Platinum alongside the weirdo ideas of Suda 51, which, I mean, hey, that's why Nier Automata, I think, worked really
well. Yeah, that's why it worked for a lot of people, right? Here's, like, this weirdo in Yoko Taro, and, like, he's working with a company.
And we say that affectionately, to be clear. Like,
yeah.
We like that. It's
Yeah,
cool.
we like our weirdos around here.
Yeah.
But,
cool.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's in this space, and I'm looking forward to what he gets up to next. Grasshopper is always one of those companies where it's, like, I don't always, like you, to a similar degree, like, there are games from Suda that I just straight up hate, but it's like, I'm always going to root for him in this weird way. He is one of those designers that I'm always going to follow. Congrats, I guess. you made a Suda game, so that's cool.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to stick with it. It will, you know what I mean?
Okay.
There's, like, a lot of stuff that's out. Like, I'm playing, at the time of this recording, I'm playing Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
And Jet the Far Shore. But, like, I beat all my Picross puzzles. I feel like I'm like an old man. Or, like,
so I
don't have a Picross, so my Switch is open for something, which I think is going to be No More Heroes 3 for a while. But cool. Well, Suriel, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this game. It would have been a huge shame if we didn't have you talking about Suda 51 for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
However long this video is.
The entire reason for doing this video is because of an embargo weirdness
happened. I always appreciate your fandom for Suda 51. So I was really eager to hear what you thought of No More Heroes 3 specifically. So,
yeah, happy to be on and talking about Suda with you guys. So,
yeah. And of course, again, we're a Patreon. So if you wanted a podcast version of this discussion, or maybe a podcast version of some of our other videos like this that we do, you can go check out the MinMax with 2Ns Patreon and, you know, maybe sign up, get involved. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm a patron.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It's improved your life, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Suriel. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.